As the weather warms up and dries out, it is time to think about the upcoming fire season in Northern California. Joining us on the KSRO Liveline is Ben Nichols, CAL FIRE Division Chief for the Sonoma Lake Napa Unit. Thanks for talking with us, Chief.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how does this coming season compare to last year?
So as we come into 2024, we've got a little bit less rainfall than we had over the winter of 2023, but 2023 was an exceptional rainfall year. So we're actually still above average where we would be for rainfall for this time of the year, and fuel conditions as we come into fire season are about a month behind the curing process that we would normally see.
Ben, come on. We've gotten so much rain over the last 2 years. Nothing's going to burn. I can get lazy all I want, right?
Absolutely not. So this beautiful lush grass that we have out in front of us right now, it's begun the curing process. And so we will have a heavier than normal amount of light flashy fuels, those grasses that are the normal ignition points for wildland fires. And so as we transition into fire season, we need to take that time to get that defensible space around those homes and mow that grass while it's still green and make sure that we're doing it early in the day and having resources on standby to extinguish any sort of fire that is ignited as a result of mowing the grasses. A lot of people don't understand that your traditional lawnmowers are not designed to cut cured annual grasses. They're supposed to be for residential lawns. And so we have a lot of fires that are started by people doing the right thing the wrong way. And so mowing early in the morning and trying to use a string trimmer or a plastic cutting blade helps reduce those ignitions that we can avoid.
Now, we've had some warmer temperatures and high winds for the past couple of days. Is that drying the vegetation out?
It definitely aids in that process, but we're still seeing a fairly mellow spring. We're talking about the possibility of rain coming back into the forecast this weekend. So the wind and higher temperatures definitely are contributing to those fuels drying out. But we're still about a month behind where we would be in a normal fire season. So at this point, we're catching up to average, but we're not getting into record or critical fire weather territory.
Ben, you just recently spoke at a virtual town hall. I'm sure you're out in the community all the time. What's the number one question you get from people about defensible space?
So defensible space, you know, that it's one of those things that we need that buffer between the wildland environment and that structure to give firefighters that chance to get in there and defend that structure. But it's the less exciting work that homeowners can do prior to that fire event to just keep things clean around their house. As we look at some of our catastrophic fires, you know, the structure destruction component hasn't been the result of a wall of fire impacting that house. It's been the ember cast well in advance of the main body of the fire. So in coming years here, the state will be enforcing a 0 to 5 foot clearance around the house where there's no combustible material allowed. And so that's a process that we need to encourage homeowners to start taking a look at that ornamental bark and vegetation around the exterior of their home to create that last line of defense from a fairly low intensity, non-exciting fire that occurs during those conflagration fire events where there's just not enough fire engines to go around.
How have cameras and AI tools helped you get your job done better?
So the cameras are a great tool for situational awareness for firefighters. You know, in 2017, we had the fires that came in under the cover of darkness, and we had fires across a large area. And so these cameras have given us the ability to have across the board from the incident commander to the chief officers running the overall firefight to the general public a real-time snapshot of where that fire is at and what that fire is doing so that we can make sure that we've got the resources on the most critically important fires. Because again, during those conflagration events where there's just not enough fire engines in those early hours of the fire, where can we put those resources that are going to make the most difference when it's said and done? The AI component of the fire detection is definitely a plus, especially in remote areas where there's not a lot of human activity. However, you know, the AI has been online for a handful of years now, and almost without fail, the human 911 caller is reporting that fire before the AI detects it, because humans, 95% of our fires are caused by humans. And so that means that it's either the person who started the fire that is calling in the fire, or people around that person, or that human development, be it power lines, roadways, see that fire in the very first stages of it igniting before the smoke plume is visible on the artificial intelligence detection capacity for the camera network.
All right, Ben, let's get controversial before you leave. Let's say you're the perfect homeowner. We've done everything you already told me to do today. You look over and your neighbor has got wood stacked all over, leaves. How do you inspire your neighbor to do what you're supposed to do?
So as we've seen in these conflagration fire events, it's the structure ignition that actually ends up destroying neighborhoods. So we're only as strong as our weakest link. And so I encourage neighbors to work with neighbors to assist them to prepare their home so that the entire neighborhood benefits at the time of a future wildland fire.
And then finally, Ben, I want to ask you about the use of inmate firefighters and what that means going forward. How are staffing levels?
Staffing levels are still down. We're struggling with maintaining crew strength for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation inmate strength. However, we are maintaining our numbers of the new CAL FIRE professional fire crews with the firefighter ones that we traditionally had on fire engines. We're using those personnel to help staff hand crews so that we've got those resources, not only during critical fire season, but also the absolutely critical work that we need to be doing proactively before the fires. Fun fact, last year in the Sonoma Lake Napa unit, we had approximately 700 acres burned as a result of wildland fires, and we proactively treated with good fire roughly 1,600 acres across the unit. So that work will continue with the assistance of our local Hood Mountain Fire Center crew to bring that good fire to Sonoma County and across Lake Napa unit, preparing for those future fire events.
We appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Chief.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. That is Chief Ben Nichols. He is from CAL FIRE, the division chief for the Sonoma Lake Napa unit. And next week is Wildfire Preparedness Week.